How to Overcome Temptation, Part 120. We're dealing with the temptation or the sin of envy. Welcome to the Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship class, dear friends. My name is Daniel White III. I know that sounds pompous, but I want to make sure my dad, Daniel White Jr., I'm sure would want that distinction, and I certainly want that distinction from my son, Daniel White IV, and my other son, Daniel White V, if you will. So we want you to know who we are. Anyway, I'm the president of Gospel Light Society and pastor of Gospel Light House of Prayer International. The purpose of this time together is to teach young believers, especially, everything they need to know about their faith in Jesus Christ and provide them with the knowledge they need to live victorious Christian lives. As an evangelist, one of the fears that I have when folks go into the church once they are saved, oftentimes they do not go through a systematic course of study. And I would recommend you, if you're not doing that, that you get with McLean Bible Church. I don't know if they are still doing that now or not under the new pastor, but I know under Pastor Lon Solomon, they had a 101 class, like a university. And everybody had to go through that before they became full members. And this is so necessary. And I would encourage churches to add a church history class as well. Be that as it may, our key Bible verse for today is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. One of the verses that I hid in my heart when I was a young Christian, and I would encourage you to do the same. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will be with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. This means that no matter what the temptation is, God has given you the grace and the ability and the power and the might to overcome it. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you know better than all of us. One of the big things we have to wrestle with and deal with in this life is temptation to do evil. Lord, just this past week, there was a study that said that most adult people think about sex, illicit or otherwise, 8 times a day. People are constantly tempted with that and many other sins. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that you'll help us to understand the temptations that we face, help us to be honest about them, and help us to look to you for grace and strength, anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit, to pray without ceasing, to read your Holy Word, and to avoid sin when we're tempted. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, our lesson today is titled How to Overcome Temptation, Part 120. And we're dealing with the temptation and the sin of envy. And we won't be long. This will be more of an introduction to a verse I preached on some 40 years ago. In this section of our Onward Christian Soldiers discipleship class, we are looking at specific temptations that are, as the Bible says, common to man. We are looking at what the Bible says about these sins and these temptations, so we can be aware of his dangers and so that we can hide Holy Scripture in our hearts to use when we are tempted to do evil. The sin that we are looking at today and the temptation that we are looking at today is the sin of envy. Envy. Being envious. This is the fifth sin in a list of 12 temptations that comes from two sources, one ancient and one more modern. The first source is a list that was developed by monks in the early church called the seven deadly sins, or the cardinal sins. The second source is a Bonner survey from 2011, which tracked the top temptations Americans admitted to struggling with. And by the way, you might as well be honest about your temptations. God knows all about it. We do have some people who will lie just as easily as anything about temptation. There are Christians, people who claim to be Christians, who will lie to your face that they're not tempted with anything. They're not bothered by anything. They've never been tempted, and just lying and lying and lying. Some of the most wicked people tell that lie. And so today we are looking at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. Please remember, the text of this lesson is made available online after each class, so you can go to our website at gospellighthouseofprayer.com, click the Onward Christian Soldiers banner on the homepage, and begin to learn these verses by heart throughout the week. Now, my oldest son, Daniel White IV, was in charge of that, and he is engaged in a great work someplace else right now, and he's on mission, and so we want to ask somebody else to step up and make sure that that is the case. He was in charge of that for so long. Proverbs 14:30, the Bible reads, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh." That is, a content heart is the life of the flesh, but envy, the rottenness of the bones. Nothing will hurt you like envy, being envious of other people. It hurts you. It doesn't hurt anybody else. It hurts you. Horace said, "The envious man grows lean at the success of his neighbor." The envious man grows lean at the success of his neighbor. Now, ladies and gentlemen, by way of introduction to this important verse, the Bible Knowledge Commentary says of this passage, "A person's emotions affect his physical condition, as it is well known today. A heart at peace, a heart that is content, helps produce a healthy body. I am convinced of this. A sound heart, people who are at peace, people who are content, people who are comfortable, if you will, in their own skin, are people who are healthier than people who are always envious of other people, and they're not satisfied, they're not content. They're always looking at somebody else, and why them, and not me, kind of mentality. These people get sick with all kinds of diseases, mental problems, cancers, because they don't have a sound, content, satisfied inner being heart. But envy, an ardent agitating desire to have or achieve what one sees in others produces adverse effects physically. And beloved, that's the end of quote. And beloved, that's what's happening in the world today. This is one of the reasons why Instagram is saying they're taking down likes, because people just can't stand it. They can't take it. Two ladies this past week, one lady makes, I think, $3 million a picture. The little girl who sings, I forget her name, I can't, she's a singer, Hispanic name, I can't remember her name right now. She gets over $1 million a picture, thousands upon thousands of likes. I didn't know they made that much money on Instagram. And people, listen to me very carefully, people who are not satisfied within themselves, people who are not content, people who don't have sound hearts, they are spending thousands upon thousands of dollars on plumping their lips, erasing their eyebrows, trying to make their behinds, their posteriors, bigger, paying thousands upon thousands of dollars to make their breasts bigger, almost killing themselves, male and female, to make other people envious, to get more likes, to make more money. It is so sad. So listen to me very carefully. There's nothing wrong with the internet. There's nothing wrong with social media. There's something wrong with us. People who want others to see them all of the time, every day, with their little pictures, they have a sickness. People who look for these people on social media and go there every day and gawk at these people who are taking all these pictures, and they have a sickness in there. There's no soundness in their hearts, in their minds, both ways. People are sick. There are women and men who are depressed. They have 500,000 likes, but somebody else, they have 30 million likes. They can't stand it, and they feel like they have nothing. They think they're just as beautiful as Kim Kardashian, her sisters. I look better than she does. Look at my thin waist, and look at my bosom. Look at my behind parts. Why am I not getting more clicks? Why am I not getting more likes? Why am I not making more money? I look better than them. I'm envious of them. You need Jesus, my dear friend. And we got folk in the church doing this today. Compare themselves with folks in the church. When Paul rebuked that spirit a long time ago, when he said that those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. You're not wise. I feel so sorry for people trying to keep up with everybody. It's so sad. It is so sad. There's no soundness on the inside. There's no satisfaction on the inside. There's no contentment on the inside. And you are a very sick person. You're sick. I know you don't like it, but you're sick. You go into debt trying to impress people who can care less, buying new cars that you can't afford, living in places that you can't afford, in the church. And the prosperity gospel has produced this garbage in the church. Now we have the big I's and the little U's in the church. And the big eyes are not trying to pull up others. They're just trying to make sure more money comes to them. You're envious of the first lady in her hat. You're envious because she has a husband and you don't. You're envious of their family, and you shouldn't be, because oftentimes the family is jacked up because they have the wrong priorities. You need to pull yourself out of that. Stop trying to impress people. Stop going into debt to impress people who don't even notice you and don't even know you, and can care less what you drive or what you wear or where you stay. In fact, you should not be getting compliments about what you're wearing in the first place or what you're driving in the first place. I'm talking to you Christians, because that's not important. Who cares? And by the way, you are a very poor person if you're driving a car that you got to pay $300-something a month to drive. That's not wise. If you're worrying about the next payment and worrying about the insurance on it. And so, beloved, in closing, one of the blessings of being saved is being given a heart of peace, a sound heart, a heart of joy, where you don't even bother yourself with what other people are doing. In fact, you thank God. You step back and thank God. Lord, thank you that you've given me peace. And I don't have to be like so-and-so. I don't have to dress like them. I don't have to go and buy a behind to put on my tail. I don't have to go buy some padding to put in my breasts only to get sick from it. Only to get blood poisoning by it. I don't have to cut off the eyebrows that God gave me to paint some on my head. I don't have to go buy anybody's hair. I'm reminded of the song a lady sung a long time ago. She said, "You're so vain." She said, "You're so vain, you think this song is about you. Right now, you're under conviction, and you're so vain and so empty. You think I'm talking to you, and I don't even know you. You don't even know me." You step back and say, "Thank you, Lord. I don't have to live in that rat race." And thank God for those of you who were out there running and ripping. And remember, people, what you get somebody with, that's what you're going to have to keep them with. And you get married to somebody and get out of that beautiful wedding dress or that beautiful, handsome tuxedo, and then you start pulling off stuff and pulling out hair pieces that don't belong to you, pulling off butt pieces, pulling off your breasts are not real, you can't even nurse the baby that you have, and you're pulling off eyebrows, and you get in the bed and you look like an alien to your husband, a Martian. You don't even have the eyebrows that God gave you. Everything, by the way, everything God gave you, he meant for you to have. There's a reason for it. So be content the way God made you. And you can only do that if you have Jesus foremost in your life, the center of your life. So this should manifest itself, ladies and gentlemen, in our lives, through us being happy and at peace and joyful and glad for the success of others. I told you many times, and I'll say it again, the mark of a truly spiritual person, a mature person, is that they are genuinely happy for other people who are being blessed by God and used by God in so many different ways, even if they're not. They can rejoice in God with them and mean it. And there's nothing more tragic than when you try to share somebody with a brother or a sister, an Ace Boon Coon, who rides with you through trouble. But then when you're successful, they can't handle it. They're envious of you, and they don't want to speak peaceably to you anymore. There's nothing more sad than that. A sinful spirit of envy leads our bodies to discomfort. Some of you can't sleep because you're envious of others. You can't stand the fact that he got the girl that you wanted. You can't stand the fact, instead of saying, you know, that's God's will. God worked it out. You don't know what you are saved from and delivered from. You need to thank God. When things happen, you need to thank God, because there's a reason why. She might be the worst. She might be beautiful on the outside, but a witch on the inside, like so many women are today. And so many men are handsome on the outside, I suppose, but they're warlocks on the inside. They change like that on you once they get you. They got you, and they're gone. It is as bad as having a disease that leads to our flesh rotting. That's how bad it is. You've heard of the flesh-eating disease? That's what this is about, spiritually speaking. Like rottenness in the bones. A cancer that's eating up your bones. It destroys you, not the other person. They're not even thinking about you. But you're envious. And people, and some women especially, have killed other women because they had a baby and they couldn't have a baby. They tried to steal the baby. Women have cut other women open to steal their baby because of envy. You got women today who try to outshine the bride. You know you're not supposed to do that at the wedding. Wearing dresses that the bride has told you not to wear. And you know you ought not to wear. Trying to steal the attention from the bride because you're envious of the fact that she's getting married and you're not. Dear Christian friend, you need to go to your closet, confess your sins, repent, get your heart right with God. And you need to pray about that thing. Listen to me very carefully about prayer. Okay? You may have to pray for a while. Oh, yes. In most cases, stuff like this does not come out just overnight in one day. See, this is one of the. Now, God can do it. He can, but he normally does not do it that way. Normally, it takes a while on certain things that are so rooted and so deep inside of you. You got to pray about that bad boy every day. Every day, you got to talk to God about it. God, please take this out of me. God, break up this evil in me, this envy that's in me. You got to pray about that thing for a while. And whatever the temptation is, whatever the sin is, there's some things you're going to have to pray for until the day you die. Some of us men, we got to pray about, God, deliver me from that temptation, from all these fine women, Lord. Be honest with God about it, that this is a huge problem, a huge temptation for you. You got to pray about that thing. You might have to pray about that thing until you die. Yeah, I don't care how old you get. You might be 85 years old. Got to pray about it. Because when God made woman, he made her, man. But anyway, I digress. Whatever your sin is, if it is envy, you need to get off Facebook. Get off Instagram. Just go ahead and close your account down. You can't take it. You can't take it. You can't make it. You got one follower. Okay? And that's you or your mama. Okay? You got one follower. Facebook, you only got two people. Twitter, you only have three. One is you and two are eggheads. Go ahead and shut it down. You can't take it. And you following every, it's so sad. You following everybody. I feel sorry for you people following everybody. Following 10,000 people and you only got two people following you. What is the purpose of that? You don't need to do that. You're just begging for pain and heartache. And being envious and jealous of other people. Go ahead and shut it down and leave it alone. You can't take it. Anyway, dear friend, if you struggle with envy, take this passage to heart and take heed to it the next time you face that temptation. Let's pray. Holy Father God, this is the time to pass it over. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for Christians who are weak and Christians who are not stable. Christians who don't have a sound heart because they're full of envy and jealousy of others, even in the church. Lord, help them to make the right move. Lord, help them to confess their sin and repent. And Lord, some of them might need to get off of social media, spending hours looking at others. How sad. Instead of doing something themselves, you want them to do something themselves. You want them to be busy for your kingdom, for your glory, praise, and honor, an audience of one. And Lord, help all Christians to get out of this bag and confess their sins and repent. Get off social media if they can't hack it, and just focus on you and be at peace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you're with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, St. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And the Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now. I am pleading with you. If you have never done so, I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about getting baptized. I'm not talking about standing up in church. I'm not talking about shaking the preacher's hand. I'm not talking about giving any money to the church. If you notice, I don't ask for money. We need money, but I don't ask for it. You know why? Because people have abused that so much. I don't want to ever be seen and put in that category. For the gospel is free. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "And you shall be saved." Pray and ask him to save you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Simply believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And pray and ask him to save you, and he'll save you. So if you're willing to trust Christ as Savior and you're ready to pray the sinner's prayer, repeat after me. And repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul and forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. I thank you for the free gift of salvation through you, through faith in you. I receive the free gift of salvation. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil life to follow you in the new life. Lord Jesus, please save my soul. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from hell, and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father God, we give you the glory, praise, and honor for all that you have done this morning. Thank you for the other three messages that have already gone out around the world before these two. And so this makes our fifth message for today. And we thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you're doing, and we thank you for what you will do. Thank you, Lord, for all of the people that you gather around this pulpit from around the world through the technology that you have wrought through human beings. And we thank you for those human beings. Some of them are not even saved, and some run contrary to you. But we thank you for giving them the mind and the ability to put this technology together so that we can preach live, Lord, around the world. Through multiple means and on demand. And so, Lord, is ready and it's available, the Word of God, the Gospel, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we thank you for those who have gotten saved down through the years, those who rededicated their life through the ministry. Thank you for putting it in our hearts to do this. And we pray that many Christians, we thank you for the Christians who have written in and who said, you know what, I want to rededicate my life. And Lord, we pray that millions more would hear the gospel and be saved. And we thank you for those who have been saved. And we pray for millions of Christians to get back to you, their first love. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen and amen. God bless you, dear friend. Until next time.